I want to speak to you on praying in the name of Jesus. Sometimes it serves just as an add-on to the end of our prayers to wake up the people who are falling asleep, you know, so you know the word is coming. Okay, in the name of Jesus. Okay, he finished his prayer. Let's pay attention now. So I was not going to say in the name of Jesus, but I said it, okay? And now let's talk about it. I'd like to suggest to you this afternoon that praying in the name of Jesus is more than just mentioning in the name of Jesus, amen. And or repeating it throughout my prayers or tagging it on to the end of my prayer. I don't feel like the authority to be speaking on prayer. I just feel like God is enabling me to just scratch the surface right now into something deeper of prayer that he wants to call me into. How many of you feel like you need a spiritual infusion in your prayer life? And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, he told his disciples. In other words, pray like this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And all of God's people says, amen, 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 amen. It is so, it is so. Amen. I want to suggest to you this afternoon that praying in the name of Jesus relays what he has spoken, reflects his splendor, rests in his sovereignty, relies on his strength, and represents his spirit. I was born and raised in church. My dad was a preacher. My mom played the organ and led the choir. Typical Christian family. But God saved me from religion. And I don't want to go back to religion. I don't know how many in the house today can say yes and amen to that. God brought me out of a life where it was all rote and just empty words into a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God that I wasn't on drugs, I wasn't hooked, and I wasn't an alcoholic. I thank God for that. But yet he plucked me out of darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. And there's a caution in my heart as I serve the Lord not to fall back into just rote and routine and just say things because it sounds good and pray because that's the way we do it in church. I want my words to have meaning. I want there to be weight upon the words. I want my life to reflect the glory of God. I want my everything to have meaning because God brought meaning to my life. When God took me and changed me and broke the chains, I was saying, oh, that's what we've been singing about all my life. Cristo rompe las cadenas. I didn't know what I was singing until he broke my chains. And then I said, yes, I understand it now. I was blind, but now I see, singing it since I was a little kid. But I didn't understand my blindness until he opened my eyes and I realized, now I can see. I don't want to go back, folks. I don't want to go back. And God is speaking to me about praying in Jesus' name. Do you really pray in my name? And just because you say it at the end of your prayers, does it really mean what it's supposed to mean? Amen? Are you ready? Surely it doesn't mean that he's telling us just take the Lord's Prayer, what we've called it, and repeat it and recite it and say it every time you need to pray. Because some verses before he said, don't pray repeating with just vain repetitions like the heathen do, thinking that with just the repetition of their words, they're going to be heard. Surely he doesn't mean just recite it verbatim. But to speak in the biblical days in someone's name was to speak on their behalf. To speak in someone's name was to relay a message that you were given. To speak in the Lord's name was to speak what the Lord had given you to speak. So much so that in Deuteronomy 18:22, It says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the things don't come true, if the things don't take place, then the Lord has not spoken to that prophet. He could say, he's coming in the name of the Lord. I'm speaking this in the name of the Lord. But if the Lord hasn't spoken to it, he's not speaking in the name of the Lord. Jeremiah 14, 14, God is pretty angry with the false prophets. And God says, the prophets prophesy lies in my name, but I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spoken to them. Now get this picture. This is Jesus, the word of God, right before his disciples, the living word of God, the one who said, let there be light, and there was light. Nothing was created outside of his will and outside of his power and outside of his spoken word. And he's saying, pray like this. He's saying, I'm giving you an example of what it is to pray. Now, these men were praying men. They were Jews. The Jews prayed. They prayed in the morning. They prayed in the afternoon. They prayed in the evening. Their life was revolving around prayer. And yet they saw something in God and they said, teach us to pray. They saw something in their master and the teacher and they said, teach us to pray. And now this is the living word, the one that came from heaven. Heaven came, walked among us, dwelt among us. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. And he's saying, pray like this. This is it's mind-blowing. God is Jesus and Jesus is God, and yet they're communing and agreeing with each other in prayer. They're saying yes and amen. Yes and amen. There's an agreement in prayer with the word of God. In fact, Jesus says, I come in my Father's name. John 5, 43. And John 14, 10 says, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he does the works. Again, in John 14, 24, he says, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So Jesus has received the word from God, the Father. The Father is speaking to Jesus, his son. I could imagine him walking with his disciples. I could imagine the dynamic. It must have been amazing. It must have been like the disciples were like, dude, do you have a Bluetooth or something? Because you're speaking every once in a while. You laugh out of nowhere. You just laugh because the Father is speaking to you. He's delighting in you. You're speaking to the Father. It's like you've heard people with their Bluetooth and with their little connection, and they're just talking out loud. You know, you can hear their conversation in the middle of nowhere. Jesus is just blurting out and laughing and rejoicing with God the Father because God is speaking to him. And now he's saying, pray like I pray. Speak to him back what he has spoken to you. Agree with him. Begin to delight yourself in him. It's an amazing dynamic. It's a yes and amen moment. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Get this picture. This is Jesus Christ, the word of God, speaking back to his Father, which gives him words to speak. Now, in John 14, 26, the Father's wills. It's the Father's will, Jesus says, that he send the comfort of the Holy Spirit in my name. And he will teach you and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever have I spoken to you. So Jesus is telling his disciples, listen, I'm sending the comforter and he's coming in my name. He's going to relay the message that I've spoken to you. He's going to remind you that which I've already spoken to you. So the Holy Spirit comes and brings back to remembrance the word that God has already placed in our heart. That's the importance of being in God's word. That's why God is calling us back to his word, not just to pray. He wants to bring us back into what he has already spoken so that our prayers have authority and they're based upon of what he has already spoken and not upon our ideas of what should be or shouldn't be. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants us to be anchored in his word and in his truth so that the Spirit of God can take that word, quicken it to us, and enable us to pray with authority and with power and with agreement with God. He wants it to burn like a fire within our hearts. A call to pray in his name is a call to his message, what he has already spoken, a call to hear his voice and preach it, praise his name, proclaim it, believe it. The religious council came together and commanded the disciples not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus anymore. But Peter and John answered. They said, we can't stop speaking what God has shown us, what we have seen and what we have heard. We can't stop speaking of it because he's deposited in our hearts. He's revealed himself to me and I can't contain what God has put in my heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I want to go back to that. I want to be in God's word so that my prayers are a cup that runs over with delight in how he faithful he is, how glorious he is, how mighty he is. In Jeremiah 29, the prophet, you know the scripture, he says, I wanted to stop speaking in his name anymore. I didn't want to speak in his name anymore, but I couldn't. The word of God was in my heart as a burning fire, for the prophet Jeremiah says. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we are standing upon the authority of what he has already spoken to us. We're breathing out what he has breathed into us. We're standing in agreement with what he has spoken. We are agreeing with his word more than we agree with our worries. I'm going to say that again. Some of you fell asleep. I'm agreeing with his word more than I'm agreeing with my worries. I can come to God with these worrisome prayers. Oh, me. Oh, my. Oh, God. And in the name of Jesus at the end, I'll add it on to make it effective. But that's not praying in the name of Jesus. That's not praying according to his word. He says he's got everything under control. His is the heavens. His is the earth. My life is in the palm of his hand. I'm safe. I'm secure. I don't have to come focusing on my worries and my doubts and my fears. When I pray in Jesus' name, I'm anchored upon his promises. And I focus more on his promises than on my problem. Amen? I accept his invitation to come to his throne room of grace, and I listen to that invitation more than I listen to the voices of intimidation saying, you're not allowed in his presence. You can't come into his presence. You know what you did this week. You know you haven't fasted and prayed enough. You haven't been in the word enough. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, I'm reminded of Mephibosheth. Remember Mephibosheth? He was Saul's descendant, Jonathan's son, if I'm not mistaken. And when Saul died and Jonathan died, King David rises to the throne, and King David wants to show mercy because of the love he had for Jonathan. He says, are there any relatives left? And they said, yeah, there's a kid. He's crippled, but he's related to King Saul. And usually, you know, in those days, the king would rise up and the old kingdom would be done away with. They had no place in the new kingdom. But he extends mercy to Mephibosheth and he says, you are going to eat at my table. You're going to delight yourself as if you were the son of the king. All the delicacies of the king's table, you will delight yourself at the table of the king. He has spoken. The king has spoken. Can you imagine Mephibosheth at the table? He's crippled. He's lame. You're not even supposed to be in the presence of the king if you have some disability, right? Plus, he's related to King Saul. He has bad background. King Saul was the one who persecuted King David before he became king, right? So can you imagine all the king's men around looking at this crippled dude and saying, you don't belong here, man. You know you don't belong here, right? Those voices coming to Mephibosheth. You know what Mephibosheth does? Well, this doesn't say it in scripture, but I could imagine he said, I don't know about that. Speak to the king. I don't know about that. He said, I don't know about that. When those voices come to you, say you can't pray. I don't know about that. He said the veil was rent from top to bottom. He said that he made a way. He said that I'm accepted in the beloved. I don't know about those voices. He said that I can come boldly into his throne room of grace in time of need. Amen. So we just relay the message that we've been receiving from God. Amen? And every tongue that rises to condemn us in judgment, we're able to bring it down. No weapon formed against us will prosper. Amen? He said we would be saved and our household. We can believe him for that. He said to follow him, and he would make us fishers of men. He would make us all that he wants us to be. Secondly, praying in Jesus' name reflects his splendor. Jesus says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says in verse 13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I could imagine Jesus praying this in front of his disciples. He was not whispering it. He was not, it was not a monotone a speech. It was not, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He was glorifying his Father. He was delighting in the name above all names. What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. is the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. We are praying in that name. We are praying in that name. We're just not mentioning it at the end of our prayer. We're coming to God in that name because of that name, because of who he is. His name is glorious. Praying to God, all powerful, all knowing, almighty. Give unto the Lord, Psalm 29 verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Isaiah 42, 8, he says, I am the Lord. That is my name and my glory I will not give to another. Psalm 8, 1 says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can I ask you what name saved you? Can I ask you what name delivered you? Can I ask you what name healed you? What name directs you? What name anoints you? What name provides for you? He gets all the glory. It all belongs to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray and we acknowledge his glory. And not only we acknowledge his glory as we pray, my friends, and I've been guilty of praying to a little Jesus. I've been guilty of praying to a small Jesus, then adding on the end in Jesus' name. It's almost like an affront to his name. It's denying his name throughout my entire prayer and then tagging on his name as an abracadabra, hoping that he's going to answer because he's pleased that I prayed in his name. Meanwhile, I haven't been glorifying him. I may have said the right words, but in my heart, I'm praying to a little God that can't handle my situation. Not only do we acknowledge his glory in our prayers, but we desire for him to get more glory. That's the desire of our heart, that he would be glorified. He is worthy of our praise. John 14, 13 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Amen? We want him to be glorified. God, give me that car that I've been asking for so that I can, let me see, I'll drive people to church. I'll give people a ride. And he says, oh, really? In the name of Jesus. Psalm 103 says, know ye that the Lord is the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Bless his name. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. When I come to God and I'm praying in his name, acknowledging his glory, praying that he would be glorified, it's an amazing transaction that takes place. I am changed into his image more and more as I desire the things that he desires. As I desire what he wants, I am beginning to change into his same image. I can't come out of the prayer closet worse than I went in. I have to come out different. I have to come out changed. I have to come out touched by the power of his name because his name is glorious. Amen. If we're truly praying in his name, we should be resting in his sovereignty. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him. Philippians 2 verses 9 and 10. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, say every knee.
Every knee.
Every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. He said, thy kingdom come in verse 10. Thy will be done. His name demands our submission, a submission to his sovereignty, to his glorious reign over my life. He purchased me with the blood of Jesus on Calvary. He paid the price for me. I am redeemed. I am bought back into his kingdom and I belong to him. So every knee has to bow. My plans, my ambitions, my dreams, my aspirations, they all have to bow down. My way has to bow down to his way. His ways are higher than ours. His thoughts are higher than ours. Amen. His plans are deeper, are wider, they're greater. They're so much better than what we could have designed for our own life. So let God be God, like we heard this morning. Let his reign, let the glory of his word come down upon you. Let his presence come and be God to you. Submit to his authority. Submit to his sovereignty. He can take his time. Because it's his time. It belongs to him. Oh God, time is running out. And you haven't answered my prayer. Submit to his sovereignty. He's got it. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got your life in the palm of his hands. He's working out things, whether you see it or whether we don't. He's working it out together for our good. The Bible tells us so. Amen? Let God be God and submit your ways and your will to his life. Let thy kingdom come, Lord. Even in the garden, Jesus prayed, not my will. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. John 5, verse 30 says, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. That's where our authority comes from in prayer, when we submit to God's way. Our authority doesn't come because we raise our voice. Our authority doesn't come because we quote scripture. Our authority comes based on our submission to God. Christ's authority was interwoven with his submission to the Father. What he did, where he did, what he said, all was because the Father was leading him. Amen? The book of James, I believe, says submit to God. And then it says resist the devil and he will flee from you. Sometimes we're resisting the devil left and right in the name of Jesus. But we don't submit to God. And the devil laughs. The devil has a heyday. And we wonder, man, this don't work. It doesn't work because we're not submitting to God's way. We want our way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God is saying, submit to me. And that's who the devil flees from. It's almost like I'm getting behind Jesus. I'm going Jesus' way. And there's no devil who's coming this way because God is in control. Amen? I remember the enemy coming into my mind one night, as I was trying to sleep, and I was rebuking in the name of Jesus. And that evil presence just continued to laugh and almost mock me. And it was getting worse and darker and deeper, and I was fearing that I would not wake up. It was something so ugly. Because if it was something that I could just wake up out of, it would have been done with. But I was praying in my sleep, in my littleness, against this power of darkness. And I was praying in the name of Jesus, and that thing was getting worse. So I added some Christian lingo to the word. In the matchless name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. It wasn't getting any better. Until I just say, oh, Jesus. Thing went away. In the poverty of my own heart, I just cried out to Jesus. I didn't say in the name of Jesus anymore. I just submitted to Jesus. Said, I don't have what it takes to face this battle. I need you, Jesus. And the enemy had to flee. Amen? Wow, am I almost done? No. Two more points, right? Am I right? Two more? Praying in the name of Jesus relies on his strength and on his supply. He says, give us this day our daily bread. He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So praying in his name, praying truly, relying on his strength and on his supply. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. His strength, his power will bring us through. His name deserves our trust. We trust in no other name. We could be praying in the name of Jesus and trusting in something else. We could be praying and interceding because we want this and we're trusting that if we have that, that will give us satisfaction. And Jesus is saying, no, you've got to trust in my name to be your strength, your supply. Paul said, take this from me, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. And he says, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul, the apostle Paul, learned that he was to rely on God's strength, even in the good times and in the bad times. Amen? We could be trusting in our own goodness and in our own ability when we come to pray. We could say, I've been in Times Square Church a long time. I know how to pray, man. I've been in ministry. Step aside. I'm a prayer warrior. And God is saying, that's not praying in my name. Praying in my name is when you come and you realize that you need his strength and you need his power. You need his grace. You need his mercy. Where every breath within you acknowledges that it comes from God. And that's where you begin to thank God. You begin to praise God because you realize everything you have has come from his hand. And everything you need, he will provide. Amen. Sometimes we try to help God with our prayers. You know, like preaching to the person we're praying for. Have you ever done that? And somebody asked me for prayer, right? So I begin to pray for them in Jesus' name. And while I'm praying, I'm preaching to them, I'm counseling them. I'm trying to teach them the word of God. I'm trying to bring conviction upon their heart. And I'm trying to do all of God's work for him instead of just praying in Jesus' name. And the guy's like, dude, I just asked you to pray for my job, man. But I think God needs my help a little bit, you know? Because his strength is not enough. Because his grace is not sufficient. And Goliath comes to David with a spear, with a javelin, with a shield. And he thinks he's got this little boy. And this little boy says, you come to me with all of that, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. What was he saying? I come to you in the strength of God. I come to you in the power of God. The same power that came upon me when I was in the wilderness and the sheep were at danger. And I ripped this lion's mouth apart and I beat a bear up. The same power that didn't come from me, it came from God. That's the same power I feel on me. And I stand before the Goliath of my life. And I say, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. So when we come to Jesus in prayer and pray in his name, we're praying in his strength. We're praying because of his strength. We're praying because he has supplied all that we need. All the people gathered around to behold a lame beggar that had been healed by the disciples, the apostles. And they're standing in wonder, looking at this man that they knew had been a paralytic since a long time. And the apostles just look around and says, what are you standing there wondering? Like if it was our power or our holiness or our righteousness that brought this man to wholeness. It's through faith in his name that has made this man strong. Faith in the power of God. Faith in the strength and the supply and the provision of God. I hope when you came for prayer this afternoon for the elders to pray for you, you weren't relying on us to heal you. Because the word of God says, elders pray for the sick, anointing them in the name of the Lord. It's the strength of God. It's the name of God that heals you. Amen? Our trust is not in... Wait a minute. I don't want to go to that one. I want to go to... And the ushers are just like, just go for prayer. And you're like, no, I want that one, that one. That one's got the touch. To pray in his name means to acknowledge my own bankruptcy. We heard it this morning. If you weren't here, get the message, download it. Our spiritual bankruptcy is to say that my name can't accomplish what God wants me to do. I need the power of his name. That's praying in the name of Jesus. I'm bankrupt. I don't have what it takes. That's why the word says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Those that realize they're broke, they're bankrupt, they don't have it. They don't have it. They have to trust in the riches of his glory, in his mercies, in his grace. Amen? If you've been looking to the wrong account, if you've been feeling like you don't have what it takes to even pray, my friends, your eyes are on the wrong account. It's to the cross that we look. He accomplished what we need. So we go to him and we look to his account. If we look to our own account, we're going to find bankruptcy all the time, insufficient funds, a negative balance. But we don't focus on that. We focus on what he has offered to supply to us. Amen? The riches of his glory. The devil will have a heyday with us if we're looking on our wrong account. We'll try to to fill in our funds. We'll try to do good works to try to earn favor with God when he said it's finished. I've paid the price. I've made a way for you to come into my throne room. Amen. Praying in his name means I come by his merits, by his permission, by his grace, looking to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ alone, not on what I can do, but on what he has already done for me. Beware of pride that says I deserve to be in the prayer closet. Beware of pride that says I deserve to be praying in public. Beware of pride that says I'm better than you because I pray in Jesus' name. And you don't pray in Jesus' name. Beware of that. Remember the illustration that Jesus gave of the man who said, thank God that I pray and I fast and everything. And the other guy just rent his garments and said, have mercy on me. He wasn't praying in the name of Jesus. He wasn't saying any Christian lingo, putting it into his prayer. And yet Jesus said, who left justified? Amen. It wasn't the guy who had all the lingo together. So beware, and I'm speaking to my own heart, beware of that pride that says, I deserve to be heard. Beware of the pride that comes in the form of condemnation that says, I don't deserve to be heard because I haven't done enough for God lately. I can't enter into his presence because I haven't earned favor in his sight. I got to get it right before I go back to him. Beware of that, because both sides of the coin deny his name and are not praying in Jesus' name. And lastly, praying in Jesus' name represents his spirit. Praying in his name is praying in who he is. His name is his character. My prayer should line up with his character. He ties in our conduct. He makes a connection between our behavior and his character. He says, forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He's praying in Jesus' name is saying, God, I want my heart to be knit with who you are. I want my life to represent you in its fullness. I want people to see my life and see Christ. When I minister in your name, I'm ministering in your character according to your nature. When I pray in your name, I want to pray things that you would pray. I want to pray according to your nature. I don't want to pray fire down on my enemies. I don't want to pray fire down on my boss. You remember when the disciples wanted to pray down fire upon a village of Samaritans that didn't want to receive Jesus because he was on his way to Jerusalem? They said, they were honest. Should we pray down fire from heaven? They had discovered the power in prayer. They had discovered that they can pray in Jesus' name and things will happen. I actually believe they weren't joking. I don't know if you're with me. I believe they really wanted fire to come down from heaven. It's not far from what Jonah was waiting for on the hill. After preaching the word of God, he was like, okay. Yeah, they say they repented, but just watch. Looking up, waiting for that fire to strike Nineveh. And Jesus tells his disciples, you know what? You don't even know what spirit you're of. You don't know what spirit you're of. So to pray in the name of Jesus is to pray according to his spirit, according to his character, according to who he is. And I've been guilty of passing by. I'm not going to name what kind of business, but I'll say, oh, I pray that down. Pray that down. Instead of praying for the hearts of the people that work in that place. God, have mercy and compassion. Reveal yourself to them. Begin to reveal yourself in such a way that they would just have to walk away and realize the kind of lifestyle that they've embraced. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And sometimes we're guilty of just praying fire down on our bosses and our coworkers and our neighbors and everybody who comes against the anointed of the Lord. And Jesus is saying, you want to pray in my name, you got to pray according to my character. Mark 9:41 says, if you give a cup of cold water in my name, it's like you're doing it unto me. Mark 9:37, when you receiving children in his name, it says, Mark 9:37, when you receive children such as these in my name, you're receiving me. Wow, you're receiving me. When you do it in my character, you're touching my heart. Amen? So when I pray, I don't want to just pray fire from heaven. I want to pray fire in my heart. a fire of compassion, a fire of tenderness, a fire of his heart burning within me for the souls of men and for the glory of God. Amen? In Exodus chapter 34, it says that the Lord descended before Moses and proclaimed the name of the Lord. He reveals himself to Moses and he says, he revealed the name of the Lord, proclaiming the name of the Lord. And he says, the Lord is merciful and gracious and long-suffering, abundant in goodness and in truth. He begins to open up who God is as he proclaims the name of the Lord. Are you hearing? So, I'm almost done. I'm done. Colossians 3:17 says, whatever you do, whether it be in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it in his character. Do it for his glory. Do it surrendering to his sovereignty, acknowledging his word and his presence in your life. Amen. Will you stand with me? Now, the altar call is going to take a little bit of boldness. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart. If you've been offended by someone and you haven't been praying for them as God has asked us to pray for our enemies, you've either been praying for fire to come down or you've been praying for them to move to another planet. And you haven't desired the glory of God to be revealed to them. This afternoon, I want you to bring that person up, and not here, not bring, if they're here, let them stay at their feet. I'm talking about in your heart. Bring that person in your heart up to the altar of God. And say, God, you know what? I've been doing this wrong. And I repent. I want to truly pray in your name, in your character, with your love. Come with your bankruptcy, come with your brokenness, come with the realization that you may not have what it takes to forgive them. You may not have what it takes to love them. But come expecting that the God of all heaven, of all creation, is more than able to put into your heart what you need to represent him well and live a life according to his name. So if you've been offended by someone and you need to forgive them, you need the grace of God to walk in that forgiveness. Come. Come and yield that before God. If you've been offended, listen carefully. You feel offended by God because God hasn't come through the way you wanted him to come through. He hasn't answered on your timeline. He hasn't provided the way you wanted him to provide. I ask you, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come, surrender that to him. Repent before him and say, God, your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are better and higher than my thoughts. Help me to yield to your sovereignty. If that's your life right now, if I'm speaking to you, come, we want to pray, we want to yield our hearts to God. You just watch what God's going to do in your life. When you yield that, you've been wondering why you haven't grown in grace in God and you feel stagnant in your prayer life. And God is just saying, will you just surrender? Surrender that thing. Surrender that area of your life. Surrender that argument that you have with me. He's okay when we debate with him. He's okay when we question him. He's okay with that. But ultimately, he's asking and he demands our submission. Because he is God and we are not. So as the music plays and as we worship, if God is tugging at your heart to come, don't resist him. Come, yield to his name, which is the name above all names. And we're going to pray that his name would be revealed in you and through you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we're here because we acknowledge our bankruptcy. God, the bankruptcy of our own name, of our own strength to even live the way you want us to live, God. Forgive us for trying to do things in our own ability and to stand upon our own righteousness. And God, we're asking you to bring us into the fullness of your name, that you would be glorified in us and through us. Jesus, as we pray, as we seek you, cause your name to come alive. Cause your name to be revered in our hearts. God, magnify your name in our hearts. Above our circumstances, above our situation, above our weaknesses and our trials and our limitations. We're asking for the grace to forgive. We're asking for the grace to release people into your hands, dear God. We're asking for the grace to love. We're asking for the grace to embrace and to be reconciled to our brothers and sisters. We're asking for grace that can only come from your throne room of grace. And we're asking because you've promised to give us these things. You've promised to move on our behalf, that your name would be glorified. God, we thank you for this. We thank you now for what you're doing and what you're going to do. Thank you for not passing us by and not letting us just go one more day with this issue in our hearts, God. Thank you for dealing with the issues of our heart, God. We yield to you. We surrender, like the song says. And God, we pray that as others would see us, they would see your glory. They would see your name written on our lives. And they would be drawn to the name that is above all names. God, we pray that our very lives would create a hunger and a thirst in other people's lives to know this name that has no rival and has no equal. We declare this afternoon, what a wonderful name it is. Jesus, what a beautiful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we say amen, amen. It is so. God bless you guys.